Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I have on the line with me this morning Daniel Seckham. He's calling in from Australia, and I'm going to be doing some work to get him on our video feed right now. But first, let me welcome Daniel to the broadcast. Good morning, Daniel. How are you today, sir?
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's great to be with you, too. I'm going to open this up here, and I'm going to be working for just a moment to get you on our feed. I sent you an email, but it did not go through, obviously. So, Daniel, let's begin this way. Obviously, we're waking up to a new world today. We're not surprised, and yet this is a little bit more than I think anybody ever suspected for the moment. How are things going in Australia?
Well, I think I've just noticed that you guys actually have finally caught on with the toilet paper epidemic that we have experienced last time. We were at the shops again today. We went down. You guys call it the mall, but we were at our supermarket earlier today, and the shelves are bare. You would swear that we were in Venezuela. It's just extraordinary. Like we really struggled to actually get our groceries. And in fact, we actually even struggled to get some meat. We thought that we would be able to get meat from our local butcher, but he was even closed, and said that he was trying to order in some more stock. So people are panic buying everywhere, and it's really disconcerting. And the Prime Minister did a live address to the nation today and basically rebuked people for hoarding and panic buying, and said basically said to the people, stop it. You need to stop it now, because it's counterproductive, and it's not going to help us. So so very interesting days, and I've been watching the news feeds and seeing what's been happening in your country, and noticed that you guys are experiencing very similar panic buying over there in the States as well as we have here. So very, very extraordinary times at the moment. It's just crazy. And you know, news has just come out that the most aggressive breed of locusts are now forming very deadly swarms in Northeast Africa, which is basically predicted to devour pretty much all of the Middle East. Ironically, it passes over Israel and just in time for Passover, which I thought was interesting. So we've got plague and we've got pestilences. And now, just breaking news, we have an earthquake in a diverse place out in Utah. Utah has reported an earthquake that has only just recently happened. So, Vincent, we are in the last days, and people really, I'm just encouraging people everywhere to make their peace with God, to get right with the Lord, because God is making it crystal clear.
Well, amen to that. So again, we're all facing basically the same thing across the globe, and there's so much more that is coming down the pike, and we want to talk about it because there's a lot of, you know, information going on the internet right now. It's an opportune season for many people to be sharing on the internet and telling people that aren't going to work, that are hanging around, maybe the good news of the gospel, that right now is a time to really consider the depth of the Word of God, because it is the book, it is the manual that is, that has foretold these moments of time. And I think you bring up an excellent point with Passover on the way, that all these biblical plagues, I mean, these are huge, and yet there are obvious other things that are going on as well. So sharing the gospel right now over the airwaves is incredible. We're going to continue our Bible studies on the air. But Daniel, have you received any emails yet? I've been sending you emails to bring you live on the – let's see if you got anything.
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you get that on there, and we'll make sure to bring you right in when your video comes on. We want to welcome you to the live YouTube and Facebook, which has been just wonderful. And to everybody out there in Facebook land, and there's Daniel. Let's bring on the young man. Praise God. Here he is. Hey, how are you?
Hey, great to see you.
Great to see you. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to put you on a little, there you go. Now we're going to have good video, good audio. It's great to see you, Daniel. I like the brick background. Where are you? Are you in shelter?
My wife has been moving around the house downstairs. So
nice. Very nice. Yeah. Hey, Daniel, let's get into some depth here. Okay. I need to just regroup and really start with what's going on. I've got some questions in my heart that I really want to answer, and definitely want to get involved in the Word as we go. The fear, the panic. What I'm having a hard time with, and I want to be as low keyed as possible, but I think it's Isaiah 33:14. I want to confirm that. Isaiah 33:14 says something about the sinners in Zion are afraid, and the hypocrites are in fear. I'm having a hard time with the idea, and I'll give you an example of what I'm saying, and then I certainly don't want to dominate this moment here. Let me read that scripture, because, you know, we were up all night. I think a lot of people are, you know, kind of staying awake for a long time nowadays. I got this handy little tool here I'm going to put on. Considering and listening to what people are saying, and, you know, trying to really get a handle on this. And this scripture came into my spirit last night, and it's Isaiah 33:14. And what it does say, Isaiah 33:14, is the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. And I was thinking about that, because right now what we're experiencing in this country, and probably in yours as well, all the churches are shutting down. All right, but let me build my case for just a moment. And God forbid, at the risk of sounding arrogant or proud or having a cavalier spirit or being rebellious against the Lord, this is not my heart at all. But we live in a region where everybody here talks about Corrie Ten Boom. That Corrie Ten Boom flew over this region, and she saw that this would be a refuge in the last days. The big teaching that goes on in this region is that it's all about the kingdom of God, that we take dominion, we take authority, we create portals in the heavens, and the glory of God is in this region. It's an ark, it's a safety. And what I'm concerned about is why so many of these people that are preaching kingdom and are declaring that we're in an ark that was designed, and they all say the same thing that Corrie Ten Boom said, why is everybody so afraid listening to government? And then, and my final thought, I'm going to turn you loose on this. I'm also having a hard time. And if there's rebellion, it's against this idea, not against God. But, you know, back in 2019, during the blood red wolf moon on January 20th, Governor Cuomo in New York City was asking for full term abortion. In other words, the baby is born, take it out on the table, kill it. Virginia did the same thing. Washington did the same thing. And now we're supposed to be listening, because all the people living in New York, when they were passing those laws, and all those legislative people were passing these laws, you know, the people in New York just continue to go on. And I'm asking the question, why would I want to listen to a political governmental official that's now saying that Donald Trump is his friend and he's known him very long time and we want your beds, and, you know, now we've got to all stay in our houses? And why would I want to listen to a governor that wants to slaughter innocent blood when I'm living in an ark with kingdom people as they preach in this region? And I'm not opposed to that whatsoever. So your thoughts, I mean, what is that? What's happening?
Well, gosh, I think it's a day of reckoning. It's a day of reckoning. That's what we're experiencing at the moment. The patience of the Lord has run out and is running out. Some people say to me, is this the end? Is this the end? I would say, no, it's not the end, but I would say that it is the beginning of the end. That's what we're beginning to experience. And what we are getting right now is a major birth pain. You know, when women go into contractions, you know, like they initially, it's a little bit of excitement because they get their first contraction, like their first birth pain. But then it gets more serious, and it's not as, you know, it gets more intense. But what we have just experienced over the course of the past couple of months has been a major birth pain. And it is, the earth is starting to travail, and we're experiencing it. And here's the thing, it's not just isolated to America, this is a global phenomenon. And this is another reason why we know that it is definitely to do with the end times. Because of two reasons, which is really, really important. First of all, it's global. This encompasses the entire globe. This is not regional to any particular country. And secondly, in the Olivet Discourse, Jesus said, when you see all these things, okay, all these things. So what does he mean when he says all these things? Well, he means he's referring to the signs in which he gave. So obviously not the sign of him coming on the clouds of glory, but in regard to the signs, when the disciples came before Jesus, first of all, they were marveling over the beauty and the splendor of Herod's temple. And Jesus said, they said, you like this, basically every single one of these stones will be thrown down. And so in their mind, they thought, well, this will be destroyed. Well, they could only in their mind imagine that the only possible circumstances in which this temple will be destroyed would have to be the end of the age. Hence why they asked the question, Lord, when will this happen, and what will be the signs of the end of the age? So they immediately correlated the destruction of the temple to the end times. And Jesus basically rattled off a whole bunch of different signs in order with what we need to look out for. You know, there'll be the very first thing that he said was, watch out that no one deceives you. And boy, if there's ever an age of spectacular deception, it's the age that we're in right now. I mean, lies and deception abound everywhere. It's extremely difficult. to get news that is actually reporting the truth. Extremely difficult. Mm. Like, you really have to go to one or two or three sources to try and discern whether what you're actually hearing is actually the truth. For the first time, I watched my local government news program the other day. And, it was just like, is this the same news that I'm hearing from what I read online? You know, basically the ABC News, which is different from your ABC News in America, but the government-run, taxpayer-funded ABC News in Australia is extremely left-wing. And basically they were bashing Trump with how he has been handling the coronavirus epidemic, and I just thought, you're going to be kidding me. He's doing a stellar job. In fact, even CNN, a pundit on CNN, even said that Trump was doing a great job. So yeah, it's very interesting. So deception was the number one thing, and then he went on and talked about how there'll be deception, and there'll be many will fall away from the faith, and there'll be you'll be handed over to be persecuted, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me, and then there'll be an increase of wickedness, and because of the increase of wickedness, the love will most grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now listen, Jesus said, when you see all these things, you know that the time is near. We are seeing all those things, and they're all happening at the same time. And as I said before, they're happening globally, all around the globe. We're all experiencing the same thing. This is how we know that we are in these last days.
All right. So, Daniel, having said that, great information, and that's the word of God. Are you guys in a mandatory lockdown right now in Australia, or are you basically free to come and go?
We're free to come and go, mm-hmm. Although they are, as each public press conference comes out each day, the Prime Minister is restricting more and more freedom, mm-hmm. Putting in place more and more restrictions. And so basically it came out on the weekend that we're no longer allowed to gather with crowds of 500. And now it's getting even smaller, down to crowds of 50, which is funny because, you know, I belong to a small church, so it's not really affecting us.
Yeah.
By the way, which I thought was quite interesting, is that we just feel that the Lord has been guiding us the whole time, because we had the phone call from the local council out of the blue and just said, listen, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to prevent you from using our hall facility immediately. And well, why? Because they said, well, we've just had some inspectors go through the property, through the hall, and discovered that there is the remnant of a white ant infestation. So there's no white ants there now, but there used to be an infection. It's compromised the structure of the building, and so we can't meet there anymore. And so our pastors are my pastor, who's also one of my best friends, also has made the decision, well, we're just going to just run with it. And so we spent the rest of the time planning and putting in place a connect group, like a cell group network, in which we are now meeting in people's homes. So we're sensing this is the Lord. You know, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen.
And it's not just us that are changing our tact. It's other churches that have actually decided to meet together in homes, in cell groups and connect groups, and home Bible studies. So this is a change of tact. And, you know, it's funny, Vincent, because two weeks ago, I was in church at our old building, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I prophesied, and I said, basically, I prophesied out of, I think it was Isaiah 43, and said, behold, I do a new thing, says the Lord. Do you not perceive it? I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? And that was the word that I brought forth back then. That was before we went into our new building. And then the other night, I think it was Friday night, I was in bed and I was feeling a bit restless. I said, Lord, I'm just would just need to hear from you. Just need to hear from you. And I don't ever, very rarely do the do I do this. I'm very much, in fact, I speak against people who do the Russian roulette Bible. You know, when you're going through a Bible and you open up the Bible and you get your finger and you go, except I was, I had my phone, so I couldn't really do that. But what I did, I just went to the where all the books were and I just kind of went, you know, and just found a scripture. And lo and behold, it was Isaiah 43, where it says, "Behold, I do a new thing, declares the Lord. Do you not perceive it?"
Mm.
So God is doing a new thing. You know, he is basically rearranging his church, his ecclesia. He's basically change of tactic is what I'm trying to say. There is a change of tactic in the way that we meet, you know, and we are now looking more and more like a church that you would find in places like Iran, but in the West. And it's interesting that the virus is doing this. So fascinating times we're living in.
Absolutely. Do you kind of get the feeling that all of the years that you've been out there prophesying, speaking, declaring, revealing, unveiling, that you're seeing so much of what God has put in you coming to pass now before your very eyes?
You know, Vincent, in 2013, I distinctly remember when I was in the shower. I don't know why I got, again, you know, God speaks to me in the shower. And he laid upon my heart, I want you to start a website and call it Israel, Islam, and End Times. And I was like, okay, this was in 2013. So I didn't even have any money to purchase the domain name. So I had to basically go through my house and get enough coins together, went down to the bank and banked the coins and walked back home and then purchased the domain name and then started Israel, Islam, and End Times. And from there, it's really been a journey in which God has kind of used me to help people to become aware in regard to what's happening. And if there's ever a kind of summary statement in regard to what God has called me to, it's two things, and that's to inform and to warn. To warn and to inform. And that is what the Lord has got me doing lately, in trying to warn as many people as possible and to warn, sorry, and inform people in regard to what's ahead, to prepare people for what's ahead. So I feel deeply humbled that the Lord would take someone from, you know, a place called YE and then a place called Budgewoi, you know, from the backside of the place, you know, from Australia down under, and yet using me to use this ministry. So God's just been doing some great things. You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure if I told you this, but Facebook is really trying to limit my ability to reach out to people who follow my ministry. And what they have done recently is about 2 weeks ago, I shared a video. I published a video to one of my pages. Didn't realize that it was actually copyrighted. In fact, it was very amateur. Like you would never have thought that it was copyrighted by a big media company, but it was. And I basically got a copyright infringement. And Facebook banned me for 3 days because of that. But they did something else that I thought was very sinister. What they did is they, after my ban was over, they continued to prevent me from publishing any content to all of my pages. In fact, they said that the ban would continue for another 7 days. So I waited for 7 days. The 7 days were up. And then I discovered on all my pages, I had been demoted from an administrator to a moderator, which meant I could no longer post anything, any content to any of my pages, you know, including, you know, Israel, Islam, and End Times and Cultural War Resource and Hear Our Testimonies and, you know, and a bunch of other different pages. So, and to this day, I still cannot publish any content to my Facebook pages. In fact, thankfully, I have others who I added to the page who can post on my behalf. So, that's been a blessing. So although it's pretty frustrating and awkward having to go through other people for them to publish the content, but boy, you know, like they're really clamping down.
Yeah, they are. Hey, I want to move in. I want to shift gears right now because God's going to restore. He's going to work all things together for good. He does that. You know that, and I do too. So I want to share with you, and I want to share with our listening audience right now, wherever you are, I want you to really pay attention to what I'm about to share. This came from a friend of mine I used to do radio with in Southern California. And I'm going to have him on the broadcast. And Daniel, I think you're going to find this fascinating too, because this is one of those issues that we look around and we say, well, you know, we're hearing this on one side, this on another side. But my brother in the Lord, who's never been on this radio broadcast as we're doing right now, YouTube and Facebook, he is a searcher. He is a seeker, and he may be listening right now. If he is, I want to bring him onto the broadcast as well with us. But here's what he sent to me the other day. And he said, the word corona, we're talking about a coronavirus. He said, the word corona means, and then he took it out of the encyclopedia. I verified this, and there it is. Corona is the field around high voltage electricity. It is the breach of the corona field that is the basis of lightning. Corona, and then he has in parentheses, radiation, kills most high voltage electricians by the time they are 55 years old. Corona severely damages the reproductive cells in the liver. He said the word virus is Latin for poison. Corona, poison. So corona, he says, the electrical field, poison or coronavirus. He said influenza, and this is out of the encyclopedia again, influenza in its present form was invented in 1889, along with alternating current. It is with us always like a familiar guest, so familiar that we have forgotten that it wasn't always so. Many of the doctors who were flooded with the disease in 1889 had never seen a case before. There was never a flu until electricity. The Spanish flu pandemic in 1918 actually began at the Naval Radio School of Cambridge, Massachusetts, with 400 initial cases. This epidemic rapidly spread to 1,127 soldiers at Funston Camp, Kansas, where wireless connections had been installed. What intrigued the doctors was that while 15% of the civilian population were suffering from nosebleeds, 40% of the Navy suffered from them. Other bleeding also occurred, and a third of those who died did so due to internal hemorrhaging of the lungs or brain. These symptoms are incompatible with the effects of the influenza respiratory viruses, but totally consistent with the devastating effects of electricity. It can be seen that each new influenza pandemic corresponds to a new advance in electrical technology, such as the Asian flu of 1957 and 8, following the installation of a powerful radar surveillance system, and the outbreak of Hong Kong flu from July 1968 onwards, following the commissioning of 28 military satellites for space surveillance. It is logical to conclude that the influenza pandemics of recent decades are linked to human electrical activity. And then he ended by saying 300,000 folks a year die of the flu in China, but all of a sudden it is a pandemic. And then he's going to write a little bit more about this. And I thought Mark did a masterful job, because if what he's saying is true, and it is written, documented facts, the corona is an electrical field. It is that. Well, 5G towers are going up, and we were told that 1 billion 5G towers went up in China. And so we have another advancement of the electrical grid, if you will, or electricity. And this is now raising up all over the world, these 5G towers. So there's just another aspect of looking at all of these things. And just wanted to share that with you, maybe your thoughts on it. But I definitely, before we get off the air today, I want to get into something you said earlier. And that is, Daniel, the temple. and how the temple of God is an illustration and how it must be here in the last days. There must be a rebuilt temple in Israel to fulfill end time Bible prophecy. Is that correct? Do you understand it that way?
Absolutely. The temple is one of the centerpieces in regard to the imminency of the Lord's return. Once that temple is built, that really sets the time clock off. And when you know that you're in the last of the last days. So it's not a matter of if, but when. And, you know, it's funny. I run into a bunch of people all the time who basically flat out deny that it will ever be built. They don't believe that it will be built, but I think it's a foregone conclusion. It definitely will be built. The Temple Institute's plans for building this third temple are extremely advanced. They are elaborate. In fact, many of the temple utensils and artifacts and pieces and articles of clothing are already prepared. The red heifer is already ready. The Sanhedrin is in place. Basically, everything is ready to go. All they're waiting for is the right circumstances that would permit them to build it. What will that look like? Well, that's a good question. There are a lot of different scenarios that could bring that about. It could be an international incident. It could be that Israel is in between a rock and a hard place, and they've got nowhere else to go, so they might as well do it. It could come out of a bargaining process. In fact, building a temple could very well come out of the peace process. This will be a different peace process that will be set up by the Antichrist, and maybe the Antichrist says, "Well, you know, if you accept this, we will permit you to build your temple." And, you know, and if Israel agrees to that, you know, and then you can just imagine that the Antichrist himself will appear in that temple. So, you know, it's interesting. It's not if, it's when. And again, like, this is not Ezekiel's temple. A lot of people said to the Temple Institute, well, why didn't you model the third temple on Ezekiel's temple? And they said, we couldn't do that because Ezekiel's temple is way too big. In fact, if they were to build Ezekiel's temple, it'll go from the Temple Mount all the way out to the Mount of Olives. So it's completely impractical. However, Ezekiel's temple will be built by Yeshua. Jesus himself is going to build the temple, as Zechariah 6 says that he will. And he'll do that when he returns. And when he returns, there'll be great topographical and geographical changes, and Jerusalem will be lifted up on the mountain, and Jesus will build the temple on the top of the mountain. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we were to get into a little Bible study on this issue, I would go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to actually be teaching this tonight at our Bible study, because we are going to gather together by the grace of God, and we're going to do what the Word says to do, as being led by the Holy Spirit. When the day comes where He says no, then we won't. But right now we don't have that. We're gathering to study these things. But I would refer to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here this is very interesting, because yesterday we talked about the coming of the Lord in Matthew 24. So here we have Paul talking to the brethren concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is that coming of Matthew 24, where the Lord comes in power and glory in the clouds, and he sends his angels to gather together his elect. He says, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. That's exactly what 1 Thessalonians 4, Matthew 24, we're speaking about, and 1 Corinthians 15, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. The day of Christ, the day of his coming, our gathering together unto him. People were saying it's imminent, it's going to happen, it's at hand. He said, no. He said, here's how you're going to get to understand the difference. Rather than thinking it's imminent, let no man deceive you by any means. And then he says, because that day will not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who is Lucifer. This is no doubt Lucifer, the embodiment of Lucifer, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So without going into much detail right now, that is an absolute key, isn't it? That Lucifer in the last days before the Lord comes is going to sit in the temple of God. Now, I know we are the spiritual temple, Daniel. You and I make up. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt the temple. But there is an actual temple that Lucifer will sit in, this Antichrist, this son of perdition, this man of sin, who will oppose everything concerning God. Correct?
Absolutely. Now, the term Antichrist does not necessarily, in the Greek, does not mean against Christ. It actually means substitute for Christ. And that's really important to understand, because basically what Satan is doing, he is replacing everything, that Christ is supposed to do, but with himself. There is a satanic counterfeit. So instead of Jesus reigning in the temple over the earth, Satan wants his person reigning. You know, he has basically entered into this particular man who will be reigning in a temple from Jerusalem and will be reigning over the earth. So he's trying to, basically Satan's like, you think you're going to do that? Well, guess what? You're not going to do that. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to be the one that's going to be reigning from a temple in Jerusalem over the earth. And all of humanity is going to answer to me and worship me, not you. And that's Satan's attitude. That's his arrogance. And so, and this is why he is determined to destroy the nations. He has an agenda to get rid of the nations. He has an agenda to get rid of the Jewish people. He wants the Jews to be completely destroyed, so if Jesus comes back, he'll have no people to come back to. Satan is working overtime to completely disrupt the eschatological plans of the Lord. Because he doesn't want Jesus to come back. He doesn't want Jesus to come back. And he's trying to do everything he possibly can to prevent him from coming back. But he's not going to be able to do it.
No, amen to that. So again, we're going to go further on into the discussion on the temple. Revelation chapter 11 talks about the temple. I think it's one of the signs of all the signs going on in the world today right now, and there be many, as you brought up earlier. This building of the temple, the rebuilding of an actual physical temple, which the Jewish people have wanted since they were regathered in 1948, solidified in 1967, they seem to be the centerpiece of time. There's no doubt about that. That the regathering of a nation after 1900 years of dispersion is a supernatural miracle of Almighty God. To that, there is no doubt that a nation, the fig tree nation, would begin to shoot forth her branches, knowing that we are that final generation. And now we're witnessing all over the world. And again, we're not going to get stuck in theological ideas or eschatological views because of tradition. We're seeking to really understand with simplicity where we are right now, because Isaiah 34, Daniel, says this: come near, you nations, to hear, and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. You know, right now, that's what the world rulers are afraid of right now, and many people in the earth are afraid of, not all, obviously, but you look at the world for the first time ever, people are saying, Daniel, it's never been like this before.
Absolutely. God is beginning to pour out his wrath on the wicked. That's what we're starting to see right now, and I believe that he has marked his people, his remnant. He has marked his remnant in which that the people who are his, he will spare. You know, and you know what's interesting? I think a lot, what's becoming a very interesting revelation lately is that Psalm 91 is actually the psalm for the last days.
Amen.
It really is the psalm for the last days. I mean, when you read it, it's extraordinary. It just strikes me thinking, wow, Lord, you gave this psalm to your people to read in the last days as a psalm of protection. And it really is interesting, Vincent, where it says that surely he will save you from the foul snare and from the deadly pestilence.
Mm.
He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. And by the way, the coronavirus spreads much more powerfully in the cold and particularly away from sunlight, which I thought is interesting. When it's exposed to sunlight, it dies. Don't you think it's interesting?
Yeah, it gives a new meaning to be hot or cold because
it
thrives in the cold and it is destroyed by the heat.
Yep. So the pestilence that stalks at darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. And by the way, there are massive locust plagues that are forming right now that are going to devour large parts of northern Africa and the Middle East.
Wow.
So the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you.
Amen.
You will only observe with your eyes and see the what? The punishment of the wicked. You will see the punishment of the wicked. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and if you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. And he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone, and you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. So praise the Lord. It's encouraging to know that God has placed a seal on his people in which they will be protected in these last days.
Amen to that, Daniel. And again, you bring up a point because a lot of people are kind of weary or leery of doing this. You bring up the point that the righteous will witness the punishment of the wicked.
Yeah,
in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet says that both the righteous and the wicked are going to get hit, but Daniel, Job, and Noah will only save themselves. So the righteous will only save themselves, unlike if there's 10 in the days of Lot, you know, will you spare it kind of thing. So the idea then is we're listening. And to me, this is the hubris of hypocrisy, okay? And I'm just speaking from my heart, the hubris of hypocrisy. A world that is shaking its fist in the face of a holy God, a world that has basically lifted its middle finger against God, a world of rulers that have legislated laws that are so offensive and abominable in the face of God, a world that said we're going to do everything opposite of what God would want or desire for this planet, is now asking for the world's cooperation and, you know, we're going to have to do. They can't turn to God right now, can they? I mean, they have blasphemed the holy name of God out of Hollywood. And now what I don't get is how Christians are getting involved in coming under the world's idea of what they need to do. It's like it would be like going back to Egypt 3,500 years ago and going back under Pharaoh's advice when God was getting ready to open a door for his people to come out while he was bringing destruction to that place. I don't understand why people in the pulpit that love Jesus and supposedly preach the gospel are telling God's people to listen to what the pharaohs of the world are telling them to do and not trusting God with all of their hearts right now. I don't understand it. Maybe I'm totally wrong and off base here. I don't see it that way. I see a supernatural God supernaturally protecting his people, truly kingdom people that are living within the context of what he desired to be, a refuge or a Goshen or an ark. Why are people afraid? I don't understand it.
Yep. And I think that's a great point that you just mentioned there, Goshen, because the Israelites in Goshen, what were they doing? They observed the punishment of the wicked.
That's it.
They observed the punishment of the Egyptians. And that really, the whole Passover story is a powerful allegory of the last days. because Pharaoh represents the Antichrist, the Egyptians represent the world, and Jews and Christians basically represent his people.
Hmm.
So it really is a powerful example that we see there. Now, some of the Israelites were actually killed in the Passover story. Some of them, you might remember, during the time when they were laboring and Pharaoh was very harsh with them, and some of them were killed. And many of them were going through with great travail. And in the same way, Jesus actually said that some will actually be put to death. Jesus says you will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. So I think it is interesting. There will be some that will wear the martyr's crown. They will be graced to wear the martyr's crown. And yet there will be others that God will protect. You know, that we read in Revelation chapter 3 when it talks about the church of Philadelphia, where it says that I am able to keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole earth. So the pre-tribbers think it's talking about, well, you know, that's talking about how we're going to all be raptured and we're not going to be here. It's not talking about that. No, it's saying that he is going to be, keep us. He has the ability to keep his people from the hour of trial. He can shelter them. And the same way that he did it with the Israelites in Goshen, he can do it for his people in the last days. Mm. And that said, you know, so there'll be some that will be martyred. There'll be others that will be in these areas, these Goshen areas, so to speak. And as you, Vincent, when I first came to America, I came to Northwest Arkansas and I was able to witness firsthand what God was doing in Northwest Arkansas. But not just there. You know, there's places in Franklin, which is just south of Nashville in Tennessee. There's another place in New Jersey. There's places in Texas. There's all over America that you have these Goshens that God has set up in which God is going to protect his people in the last days. And even here in Australia, there's places here in Australia. There used to be a family in my church. God had miraculously provisioned them to purchase these land, which is just north from here, and they were able to get it super cheap, massive land, and they said, Lord, we just need a sign to know that it's you. And they, as they were walking through the land with the realtor, they said, well, what's this river, this creek here called? They said, well, it's called the Lord's Creek. The Lord's Creek.
Wow.
And God had been talking to them about, again, you know, in the last days there are going to be people fleeing and that God was going to use them, in which it will be a place for them to, for people to flee to.
Mm.
And there's, you know, it's just remarkable what God is doing. He's orchestrating all this. He knows. And when you get your head around this, you really do ask the question, well, how close are we really getting? So I think with everything that's been happening over the past couple, 3 months, it's like, man, you know, we are getting very close.
Well, there's no doubt about we are close. We're in something right now. And we've got a number of things going on YouTube right now, some questions going on out there. I want to open the telephone lines. We've got about 10 minutes left to our broadcast this morning. Then I'm going to be heading over to KIRM Radio on 790 AM, 100.3 FM for a good hour. If you have a question for Daniel, you have something you'd like to share right now with our listening audience. You know, it's interesting on Facebook and on YouTube right now as we're getting some comments coming in. You know, I'm looking at some of the theology and the eschatology that's being shared, and I appreciate that, but I don't agree with it. I'm just thinking there are some things that are off there. So we're at a time where we have to be very careful about everything we do, but we do have a call coming in right now from area code 479-366. And by the way, don't give up on searching. We're all going to do it. You may be right, we may be wrong, but we need discussion on it. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. 366, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just wanted to share Joshua and Caleb faith in this time. That's it.
Okay, Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb. All right, well, thank you. We need to have a lot of that, don't we, Daniel?
Amen.
All right, man. So, all right, Number to call, 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. Daniel, in the next 10 minutes, what are the important things to say to God's people right now? What are the important things to share with people that are out of work right now? Hmm. Industries are shutting down. Kids are home from school. Kansas just shut down the entire school system in the state of Kansas for the whole year. I mean, people are taking this obviously to the zenith, and I do find this absolutely amazing that this is happening as we're approaching Passover 2020. We do have one more call coming in, though. Let's take this call coming from South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. This is for Daniel. He mentioned how God is changing the way people are meeting or getting together. And in the book of Acts, is that the teaching that was going on in the Bible days?
Yes, there were definitely house churches that were actually going on. But there were also churches that were larger than house churches in which people gathered together. Not just in and around Jerusalem, but out also in the Decapolis as well, the Decapolis area. Now, there was by modern standards, a mega church in Antioch. So there was a large, large church of believers that gathered in Antioch that was more traditional and what we would imagine a church to be today. So churches come in many different sizes and shapes. And God uses all these different sizes and shapes. So, but I believe that it is a strategic move of God in these last days, in which He is encouraging believers to gather together in a different way, in a more intimate way. And it's interesting that the virus is kind of forcing us, per se, to come together in these house churches. I think it's strategic on a bunch of different levels. I think in the future, it's going to be very, very handy because it makes the church become more invisible, which is going to be very convenient when the persecution gets more intense, because there won't be physical churches that the enemies of God can actually attack. So house churches can be more discreet, and so can't be regulated so much by the government. They can't be intruded by the government so much. So I think it's going to be a refreshing change. And again, as far as the health concerns, that's another plus as well. So this is the way that we're looking at it. So down here in Australia, many of us are either meeting together in small groups, in connect groups, cell groups. I'm not sure what you guys call them over there. But the other option too is, and this is what's happening more and more, is that more people are watching services online, and pastors are interacting with their
congregations,
people, mm-hmm. with their congregations mm-hmm. by using Skype and Zoom and other things like that. So it's interesting how God is still using and still blessing the church, even though it is radically morphing into something completely different than what we're used to.
Amen.
Yes,
did that help you?
Yes, it did. And if it's okay to make this comment, several years ago, I was this prophet of God. He was in our home and he lived in Romania. And he told us how they met secretly. And he lived in this town of where he was in Romania. And he said they would have, because it was under communist rule, he said they would have people come in their home. And he said people would come by the Holy Ghost directing them, and they would go in the basement of their house. They put pillows in the window, so when the secret police would walk by, they wouldn't hear them praying, and that, and that was the way they did it under the communist rule.
Yeah. Now, was that Dimitri Dudeman?
Yes, it was.
There you go. It was, what a great man of God he was.
Isn't that awesome that Kathy and Ken up in the South Dakota area had the opportunity many years ago to actually bring into their home Dimitri Dudeman? I mean, his grandson, Michael Bodea, he's spoken at conference with us in California. What a wonderful man of God he is. And to think that Dimitri Dudeman, a prophet from Romania that God sent to the United States to warn us mostly about a nuclear holocaust. And a lot of people have poo-pooed the idea, but I just wonder how far we're getting down the road. And I know other people are saying, well, you know, don't listen to this idea about population control. Don't listen to conspiracy theories. People that actually once espoused all these ideas are now kind of turning and saying we should listen to our government, who's in rebellion against God, which is really strange to me. But I do believe that there is a population control agenda. I do believe that the Word of God actually says that half the population on the planet will be taken out in the last days. And I do believe that evil and wicked men with the Luciferian spirit are going to use everything in their power to reduce the population and so make it easier to control. But Dimitri Dudeman basically told us a lot of this stuff was coming down the pike. And I do believe he was a holy vessel. I don't believe his message is gone. Daniel, how about you?
Totally agree. In fact, I never had heard of him until I was at the Understanding the Times conference in Nashville in 2018, and I was on a Q&A, and one of the questions they asked me was about the future of America, and I said to them, well, to be honest, I believe that America is going to be chastised, and I said, I believe America will be dealt with. God. Patience is running out, and the time will come when America will be chastised. And so anyway, after that session, I had a man come up to me and he says, have you heard of Dimitri Dudeman? I said, no, I haven't. And he basically gave me two of his books, And in fact, I read one of those books on the plane from Dallas to Toronto. So, he is without a doubt a man of God, and the visions that he had with what he saw in America, I believe, are 100% on the money. I believe that the time will come and God is going to bring severe judgment upon America. And I don't like to say that. I find it very difficult to say that because I don't want to see that happen to America. But I believe that the patience of God has and is run its course.
I agree. Kathy, anything else from you? Any other questions?
Well, basically, that it was in 1990 that Dimitri and his grandson, Michael, who was only 15 years old at the time, was his interpreter. And I had lined up meetings for him and television programs in the area. And when I met him personally and was with him those many days, he's a true prophet of God, let me tell you.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for sharing that experience with us. Daniel, as we're getting ready to go out right now to broadcast, what are you doing if people want to get in touch with you? They want to listen to what you're talking about. Are you available like on screens like these anywhere? Are you doing any work out there where people could, you know, kind of look for you and see what you're doing?
Yeah, mainly just follow me on Facebook, IsraelIslamAndEndTimes.com. The Israel Islam and End Times Facebook page, although it's very difficult for me to update, but I've got other people who are updating things for me.
Okay.
How to get a hold of me. But one thing I will mention quickly, Pastor Vincent, is I think it's extraordinary, and this has been going around on Facebook, going around in social media, but there's a powerful scripture where the Lord actually, when he appears to Solomon, and he says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and it says in verse 13, it says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, and this is exactly what we experienced here in Australia for many, many months, which led to the bushfires. And it goes on to say, or command locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people.
Wow.
Wow.
My-
that is right before, if my people who are called by my name will humble and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Boy, isn't that powerful?
It is powerful. Daniel Seckham, thank you for joining me. We're just out of time right now. We're going to continue on omegaradio.org, where some of your messages that you've given to us over the last couple of years will be echoed. They'll be played on omegaradio.org as well. We want to wish everybody a safe day today. We're going to continue to pray. And by the way, it is very cool that people that have spoken by the Spirit of God are all letting people know, hey, God told me this was going to happen. That's okay. Enjoy that moment. It's a time of vindication for the true prophets of God out there who have voiced the true words of God to this nation. And nobody knows it all at this point, but we are searching, we're seeking, we're studying. I'll see you tomorrow right here on this broadcast. Once again, Daniel Seckham, God bless you, my brother. Go back to sleep now. It's 2 o'clock in the morning in Australia. Shalom and God bless. And I want to say goodbye to everybody. I'm going to be heading, if you're interested, over to KURM Radio. If you're listening on the internet, KURM, that's KURM as in Michael, KURM.net. And we'll be at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, 1 hour from now. We'll be going live on AM FM radio and on KURM.net. We'd love to hear you there. I'm going to bring forth something that I've been holding back that I'm going to release on the airwaves. I've been doing it for 7 years. It's an amazing day to be alive. Do not be afraid and do not panic. Be led by the Holy Spirit. If he tells you to go to your house, shut the door, put the blood over your life, let the indignation pass over, then do it. If he tells you to gather together with a few good friends, then do it. Okay? Do not be led by fear or the reports of the world. Be led by the Holy Spirit of God. We can't make it any clearer. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. This is Pastor Vince. Shalom. Until we meet again. Right now, omegaradio.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Live to you right now.